You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2019 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the first class in a series given by Brother Norm Fidel on the subject, Embracing the First Letter of Peter. This class is titled, We Have Been Born Again.
I hope that everyone has been able to find a folder that has in it a yellow sheet and some white sheets of paper, and that's for class one. You need the yellow one because I'm doing the overview, and then the class is your worksheet. If you look at the yellow pages, the one front sheet here, because there's two sheets, Embracing Peter's First Letter, and I will tell you about the embracing in a moment here, but it is, what, five chapters, so 5 days. That worked perfectly. Two parts here. I get a chance to talk about the introduction. There's going to be a reading for me, a volunteer. Today is going to be Deborah back there someplace. Yes, she will do the reading. Everyone has the same reading. Open it up and follow the reading. It's important because the focus on what is Peter saying in his letter. So that's an emphasis. So when I think it's ESV, I will be making a few comments on that. And then the more important part of the class becomes you. You being you. And it is room there for you to write down some things for yourself. That's part of the exercise. And part of that 10 minutes is to get ready to be able to turn around or turn front in a foursome and say, wow, this is what I learned. Let me talk to you about it. Or, hey, I have no idea what this is. You can ask a question. And you do that for the remaining 15 minutes. So actually, I'm only talking about half the time if I do it right. And your time is how much you want to get to the end. We don't have to reconvene. We are right here. I will have the privilege of wandering around if you've got any questions. But that is what I just said here. Here is work on your study as part two, your action notes, what you were going to do, and then discussion. Also, if you're still on this page, there are titles here based upon a Bible verse. I'll just read them for the tape. Chapter 1, we've been born again. That's in verses 3 and 23. The idea here is there's a complete and cleansing start before God. Tomorrow, chapter 2, when we do that, you are a royal priesthood, verse 9 and 5, a privileged status and assignment already given to us. We have this now. We don't wait for the kingdom. Chapter 3, likewise you wives, likewise you husbands, and so on, those verses. It's talking about relationships, not just those two elders and servants are involved. So that's the third day. Day 4, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. Verse 1 and 13. This is a critical point. We are joined with Christ if we're partners. If we continue with him, you share in his suffering just as a consequence. This is a big deal in the letter. And finally, chapter 5, day 5, and after you have suffered a little while, okay, for you to get the benefit of God will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you after you have suffered. So if you haven't suffered, you don't get the last part. So you can think about that. So flip over the other side. Here is quickly for me to talk to you about the approach. I've done a lot of it, but let me look at the definition here. There's a definition of the dictionary, look at those five, and I say, oh, that's really good. When we're talking about Peter, it really has these applications. We're here to read, discuss, accept, and apply the content, meaning, purpose, and lessons of the first letter of Peter. So I use the definitions this way. First of all, I'm a believer, so I readily accept. But Peter has divinely inspired, written this. So on. As a Bible student, I'm here to take up the task of studying and getting you to do the same thing. So that's part of the approach. And then as a teacher, I have this goal to unite us in the joint exercise of reading and discussing the text. So, notably, no slides. I won't show you any pictures up there. I encourage you, when you're reading, imagine what's going on. That's a purpose. Embracing Peter's letter. So we're going to read it, discuss it, accept it, and then having accepted it, it is important. We can read it and understand it and stop. I understand. It won't do you any good unless you accept the points that are being taught. All right, you accept it. Point three. But if you don't do anything about it, you just wasted your time. Four. That's fine. Well, four. You need to do it. So, big deal. You know enough about the reader. I need to talk about that. I make some comments here for yourself saying, you know, why does Peter write this? Why is he doing it? I think he comes in and fills some of the roles that John has when he goes preaching, but I'll let you see that. But in the setting, they're called exiles for a reason, and you can see that. But the second paragraph here, as a source of exhortation, Peter can draw from his personal instruction and the encouragement from Jesus, who's the master. So Peter's talked directly to him. That's part of Peter's background. And he shares it with us because we can read it. We can read it for ourselves. So, uses Old Testament quotes. That's really good. But Bible letters and so on are actually written for our instruction. It's like, oh, it might be a good idea. Have a nice quiet time, good food, friend. But if you start not having the word of God there, it could be a fun time, but you've missed the opportunity. So that's where our real source is. Talks about working relationships. That's a very important thing. And particularly the suffering for the name of Christ. That was the situation of Peter after all these things. You read through it in Acts. So he's writing this in a real time and place and real problems that he himself has experienced. So he says, let me tell you what it's like when, and he fills in the story. He's credible. He is relevant. He's powerful because he's been inspired by God to read. So that's part of my point. He, that is Peter, that is God, is talking to you when you read and understand that. I'm kind of stepping out of the way. I'm not avoiding the work, but so far so good. Do you understand what it, because this is unusual. Certainly in Bible schools, at least in my sense. But the people who are in Indiana, in the Royal Retreat, they've already done this. See, so they know. Talk to people who are in Indiana. All right. Now, go to the... I try to be serious when I talk, but sometimes I just can't be. So, yellow. Yeah, yellow. Let's finish. Let me take you to the front page of class one. These are some of my comments. Just do a little bit on the opening topic and then something. Then we'll read. And then when we finish the reading, it's your time. So you should have the page that says the Israel of God. And I make an argument. What is that? It's certainly more than just the Jews themselves. The term comes out of Galatians 6:16. We are called the children of God and children of promise in Romans 9:68. This becomes the, not natural Israel, but the spiritual Israel of God. They're called the true circumcision in Philippians 3:3 and children of the Jerusalem above. So it's not the physical Jerusalem. That is, they are the offspring of born according to the spirit, not the flesh. That's in Galatians 4 and so on. Now, those are things that Paul has said, but it's going to be applicable to Peter. When Peter then talks about brothers and sisters who are in Asia, who are not just Jews, they have been, already done, born again. It comes up in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, and in verse 23. So he's referring to this audience as being part of the new and greater God's own people, which we'll talk about tomorrow in chapter 2. So both Jew and Gentiles are here, and they're in the same situation. When they call themselves, or Peter calls them, sojourners and exiles, they are declared to be God's holy people, holy nation. So we're out of the Old Testament significance, which is very important, and now it's wider, it's broader, but you are now in common being the Israel of God, and God is your father, and you got this great new start. So that's just sort of some definitions of why he uses that term. Got a lot of this from Brother Harry Whitaker and some other writers. It says the Old Testament allusions. I'm not going to read through all of them, but they say if you just look at what happens here in chapter 1, and I got a list of where the reference is. And then it says, you know, that probably comes from, for example, the elect exiles. This is God making Israel a chosen people, Exodus 19, and also in Deuteronomy 14, too. That's what it's talking about in the Old Testament, and here Peter is putting it in the New Testament. When you look verses 1, 2, 3, up to 19, you got, what, at least a dozen references about the Exodus, a physical thing. You say, oh, why? Okay, they've been in bondage. They've come out of Egypt. It's a new start. They're now a chosen people. They become a holy nation. He makes them particular. So Peter says, you kind of know the Old Testament. Let me tell you what it's like when Jesus is here. And he makes that connection. To me, this is one of the beautiful things in Scripture. I didn't know that. Someone says, Norman, did you take a look? And so I write them like this. And maybe for the first time you say, at least it's kind of neat that you can see it. So primarily in the Exodus, people are getting out of bondage. They're getting from that situation. But you can't stop there. There's no point getting out with something and just saying, it's for. What are you for? What are you going to be becoming? And you are becoming children of the living God. He's going to be dwelling with you. And even though it might be in the wilderness a little bit, it's okay. Happen back there, when you come out of God, it's in the wilderness maybe of our worldly context, but God is taking care of us. So Deborah, if you would, just this is a page. She's going to read out loudly. This is the text to read. And ESV, you should follow along. You don't have to. You can just listen. But this now becomes a common basis. Everyone has this going into the discussion. That's why I printed it out here.
Chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was yours, that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
Thank you very much. I should explain those little letters and small prompt. That means like for the very last one. In this word, then a little V, 23 and 2 and 8, it says, it comes up in verse 23 and also in chapter 8. So it's a cross-reference. It's an internal cross-reference in the letter. So that's what they're there for. It's kind of hard to read over them, but good. Thank you very much. And here, I'm really glad to be telling you this next part. Your study and action notes. Okay. And what you are to do, where it says there, which are the following words here, terms and phrases, what do they mean? Write in your answers. What does that mean? Look at them, write your answer as to what you think they mean. You don't have to, but we're giving people 10 minutes to get girded up for the next ones. That is, they're going to ask a question or make a point. So, starts now. 10 minutes, you're on your own.
Please pause this recording while you fill out your worksheet. You may resume when you are finished.
Thank you very much for doing that. Hope it was helpful. Now, we have a little bit of a switch. Some of you at least, will have to be moving around. But what I would like, on your own, however you're ingenious, get into a group of 3 to 4. So maybe move it out, turn it around. And this is the time to say, hey, those are the things 2, 3. What type of information did you learn now from the discussion with another person? Maybe some of you might go out. I know we can't there, but we can move these chairs up there, get in a threesome and foursome. So I've given you time to do that before we can get into it. You can start now. We'll be able to do that for the next 15 minutes. So on your own, you can do it. It would appear that you had some interesting and sometimes intense, from what I could see, conversation. This really cheers my heart. But I just want to say thank you for your participation. I hope it continues. And on the tape, we'll say this is going to happen every day. And That's done my part.